Yeshaya Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Beis. I'd like to back up with two or three psukim and learn the following psukim in order. This is where the Haftorah begins on the eighth day of Pesach. Previously, the psukim mentioned how Sancheiru was coming with all of their haughtiness and their arrogance, and they claimed how Sancheiriv conquered the whole world and nothing could stand before them, and now Yerushalayim would be captured, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't save them. And the psukim right before this Pasuk Lamed Beis mentioned how Sancheiriv was in a rush to get to the city of Nob. Baal Ayos, he came to the place Ayos, and he went to Migron, and Michmash, and Mabara, and Geva, and he traveled from one city to another in a blitzkrieg, a quick attack. He conquered all of these cities, and he quickly was in a rush to get to Nov. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, Od Hayom, when it was still daytime, Benov Lamod, Sancheiriv wanted to stand in Nov. Yenofef Yodo, he'll wave his hand, Harbas Tzion, to the mountain of Tzion, Givas Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim, and he's going to wave his hand and he's going to say, is this the rush? I knew I had to get to Nov today, but why? The Targum brings down the army, it says tremendous things about the army of Sancheiriv. It says there were Arboin, Alfin, Gustanin, Didahav. There were 40,000 of these gold chariots, Divnei Malchin, Kitire Toga. There were princes who wore crowns, Yasmin Bahon. There were like 40,000 of these princes with their own armies and soldiers coming with Sancheiriv. And he took with him Mosin, Alfin, Achide Saifon, Verumchin. 200,000 people holding swords and spears. Udvarim Motzin v'shitin alfin. There were 260,000 mechatzei girin, people who shot with arrows, archers. There were guvrin deratin kodamoi ma'alfin. There were 100,000 soldiers who ran right before him. His entourage was 100,000. The length of his camp was 400 parsa. And it discusses the tremendous amount of his army. They crossed the Yarden in three stages. Kadmesa Kadavaru Biyardina, the first group of his army that crossed the Yarden, Shosumaya Dahavu Biyardina. They drank all the water of the Yarden. They crossed, by the time they crossed the Yarden with all the soldiers, everyone bent over and took a sip, and it was dry, a dry riverbed. I'm not sure if that was the first group, how the second group found anything, but it seems to say the second group, when they crossed the Yarden, the horses lifted up their hooves, and could be the weight of all those horses perhaps sunk down, and it created a certain type of well, and when they lifted up their hooves, there was some water underneath the horses, and somehow they may do without water. And the third group already had to dig a well in the riverbed and try to hit an aquifer or something to get some water. But the amount of Sancheiriv's army was tremendous. And Od Hayom Benov Lamod, and he felt he had to get to Nov today. Today is the day when he has to be there. And he rushes through one city after another. He has these 10 stops until he gets to Nov. And then when he gets there, he takes a look. And he sees Yerushalayim, he has his perch high up above the city. And he looks and he sees, this is the city that I'm rushing to get. It's a small city surrounded with a wall. There were many walled cities that Sancheiriv conquered. And he waves his hand with scorn. You know, Feif Yodo Harbas Tzion, he'll wave his hands to the mountain of Tzion, give us Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim. It's hard to remember the translation, what is a har, and what is a giva. I believe the Malbim points out it. The way to remember is in Hallel. You say, Hehorim tirkedu che'elim. The mountains dance like Elim, is a male, is a ram, the adult sheep. Gevos, kivnei tzon. The Gevos is like the b'nei tzon, like the little sheep. Gevos is a hill. It's lower than a mountain. Yerushalayim was a mountain. It was the highest place. And the Harim Saviblon, there were mountains all around. There were hills. There were mountains around Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim itself was the higher mountain. But he's going to wave his hand, give us Yerushalayim, to the hill of Yerushalayim, with like scorn. Yerushalayim's nothing, it's like a hill. Another pshat mentioned, the Malbim says, Od Hayom Benov Lamod, Sancheirov is going to rush to stand in Nov. But the reaction of the people, Yenofeif Yodo Har Bas Tzion, the mountain of Bas Tzion is going to wave their hands. The people in Yerushalayim are going to have a scorn towards Sancheiriv. And to everyone else who is afraid of Sancheiriv, all those cities where Sancheiriv came, there was a panic. Charda HaRoma. In Roma there was trembling. Givashol, the people fled. Baskalim, they were raising a cry that could be heard in the whole area. The people in Lysha heard the scream. All the different cities that were mentioned in the previous Pesukim, Chavches and Chavtes and Lamed, all the cities mentioned over there reacted with a panic. Here was coming Sancheiriv, there was no way of stopping him. And the people in Har Bas Tzion waved their hand. Those that are in Givas Yerushalayim, they waved their hand. There's nothing to be afraid of. Sancheiriv can't do anything. The Beis Halevi wrote us a small kuntris on bitachon. And there's a lot to say on the subject, but it's a lot of it we're aware of, but it's always good to just mention it again, and perhaps there is another insight, or just, it should be on our, we should live with this awareness. But the Beis Halevi says, I'm just quoting a short amount of what he says, and he bases it on the psukim that we've been learning in Yeshaya. He says, "V'gam be'es asher sholat ha'adam be'adam l'ra chalila." If chas v'shalom a person's in a situation where he's being controlled by another person, an evil person for his detriment, yovin, a person should understand ki akol me'ito yisparach. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein ha'adam ahu rak ha'shevet. That other person who's causing suffering, that other person's like the stick. Asher bonan manish l'ha'chayovim. A stick is used to punish those who are guilty. That person who's causing us all the problems, he's like a stick. He's just being used as a punishment. Uchamaymer ha'kosuv, like we had in earlier in this parak, Pasuk Yud. Hoy Asher Shevet Api. Woe is to Asher, they're like a stick of my wrath. Uchsiv Od Shom, and there's another Pasuk afterwards. Hayispor Agarzan Alachotzev Bo. Would the axe be boastful about the one who's using it to chop? How could Sancheiriv boast against Hashem? He's just like the axe in the hands of Hashem. Vin Kankisha Adam Mevakesh Oz Tachbulos. If a person's looking for some type of tricks, he's trying to come up with some type of strategy. Umischanin, and he's pleading lerodfo to the one who's pursuing him, and he's begging. He wants to be saved. Veinanosing lelivo levakish meis Hashem, and he doesn't take the heart to ask from Hashem to help him. Hareza doma lemuka. That's like a guy who's being beaten. And he starts pleading to the stick. Stick! Leave me alone! Why are you hurting me for? There's no greater foolishness than a guy who's getting beaten and he starts begging the stick to let go. And the Beis Halevi continues more on this subject of bitachon. But that's the way they felt in Yerushalayim. You know, Feith Yodo Har Bas Tzion, the mountain of Bas Tzion, the Givas Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim, they waved their hand in scorn at all of those neighboring cities that were terrorized from Sancheiriv. Where's your bitachon? If you live like we're living in Yerushalayim, with Chizkiyo, where everything is based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that Einod Milvado, there's no one besides Hashem. And we're safe with our bitachon in Hashem. So they scorned the fear of a mortal person, the fear of Sancheiriv. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Hey, explains this pasuk. Amar of Huna, Osa Yom Nishtayer Me'avono Shel Nov. The city of Nov, there was a sin because of the city of Nov. We'll discuss that in a moment. Amri Lei Kaldoi. And the Kaldoi, who were stargazers, and they were able to foretell the future, but they said to Sancheiriv, I'azlus ha'idna, if you go today to Yerushalayim, yachlus lo, you'll be successful and victorious. Urcha deboi l'siguye basori yoma, a trip that would have taken 10 days, soga b'chad yoma. Sancheiriv did it in one day. He raced to Yerushalayim because they told him, here's the one day, it's either today or it's a lost opportunity. Kimotzi Yerushalayim, when he got to Yerushalayim, Shorilei Bistarki, he piled up the rugs to make an artificial little tower. Adesolik V'yosef Milave Shura, till again he was above the wall. Adechazua Lekula Yerushalayim, and again he was able to see the whole Yerushalayim. Kichazye, and he saw it, izutur b'enei, it was so small and insignificant in his eyes. And he says, this is the city of Yerushalayim, this is where I rushed. And Rashi explains, the sin of Nov, d'mipnei avon shehoya lehem li'Yisrael, Klal Yisrael had a sin, al shenergu kohanei Nov, the kohanim of Nov were killed. David had fled from Shaul, and he went to the city of Nov, and he said he was on a mission. He needed food and weapons. And the Kohen, Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, gave David some food, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. When Doeg saw what was happening, he reported to Shaul that Nov, the city of Nov, is helping David against you. They're part of the rebellion. Shaul perceived David as rebelling. So Shaul went in, and he told Doeg, go and wipe out the city. If you say they're guilty, you're the one who gave the report, Doeg should kill them, which Doeg did. Doeg was punished as a result. Shaul was punished, he accepted the Lashon Hara, and he was the one who gave the order to destroy the city. And David even suffered, because indirectly, because he went to Nov, and he ended up getting these supplies, he was responsible, according to his madrega, the tzaddikim are judged for the minutest fault. David was blamed. But even Klal Yisrael had some type of blame that such a thing could have happened. And this is hundreds of years later. This is already Chizkiyo, we're nearing toward the end of Bayis Rishon. Od Hayom, there's like sort of a statute of limitations. Od Hayom Benov Lamod. Today is the last day the Kaldoi were able to foresee. They knew that today was the last day that Kova HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'oinish Ad Oso Hayom. Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the punishment. If it would happen, it could happen up to that day. V'Oso Hayom Bilvad Nishtayar Mizman Ha'onish. That was the last day that remained, that Klal Yisrael could have gotten punished for what happened in Nov. V'ilo hoya nilcham b'Yerushalayim ba'osa ayom hoya kovsha. If Sancheiriv would have fought against Yerushalayim that day, he would have conquered it. V'hochi mash makra. This is how you understand it from the pasuk. Od hayom, it's still the day. Osa ayom hemidu Sancheiriv al Yerushalayim ba'avon Nov. It's still the day that the punishment of Nov can be meted out. And if Sancheiriv would have come that day, he would have conquered the city. But Sancheiriv waved his hand. Yerushalayim has no power. They can't withstand my forces. And Sancheiriv said, let's wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow every one of my soldiers will go. They'll take a little piece of the wall, and then there'll be no wall. And they'll just walk into Yerushalayim and conquer the whole city. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Hinei ha'adon Hashem Tzvokos. Behold the master. Hashem Tzvokos, the Lord of hosts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. Misa'ef pura b'ma'arotza. He's going to chop off branches with an axe. And b'ma'arotza implies that it's going to be done in a destructive manner. He's not pruning a tree, and he's not trimming off the dead branches or the excess foliage. He's destroying it. He's chopping it down b'ma'arotza with his axe. V'romei ha'komah giduim. Those that are of lofty stature will be severed. V'hagvoim yishvalu. And the haughty ones will be lowered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to chop down that army of Sancheiriv. He's going to destroy it. It doesn't say there won't be any tree anymore. It doesn't say the nation of Asher will disappear. But their beauty and their force and their power, it'll all get chopped down, that they won't be a threat anymore to Klal Yisrael. They don't have to worry. Maybe Sancheiriv will get wiped out and a few years later he'll regroup. But Sancheiriv will be finished. That tree will be destroyed, the beautiful, strong branches. Very often, the goyim are referred to as a tree without branches. In other words, without any, it has a lot of branches, it looks like it's powerful, but there's nothing there. It says in Yeshaya, in Perek Mem, that they're comparable to a tree that Af Bal in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Dalid in Perek Mem, Af Bal Nito. They're as if they were never planted. They might have been a tree, but as if they don't exist. Af Bal Zoro, not even like seeds that were planted, where they have little feeble roots, but it's as if they were never even planted. Af Bal Shoresh Ba'aretz Gizom. It's as if their stock wasn't even rooted in the ground. They have no source, no root, nothing to regrow from. Which we'll see in a moment, the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. Malchus Beis Dovid is going to spring up like a root from the ground. Klal Yisrael has roots. We have a permanence. Klal Yisrael will last. But the Goyim are like this tree without any roots. It looks nice. It's got big branches. But that's all going to get chopped down. V'nikav sivchei hayar. The forest thickets will get hewn b'barzel with iron. V'halavonon be'adir yipol. And the Levonon, the forest of Lebanon, the Levonon be'adir yipol will fall through the Mighty One. Either meaning Sancheiriv's army, that was as numerous as a forest, will be chopped down through the mighty angel, through the Malach of Hashem, or Ba'adir could mean Chizkiyo, that Chizkiyo with his devotion to Torah and his great tzidkus, his righteousness, Chizkiyo is the mighty one, and that forest of Sancheiriv will fall and be destroyed. The Gemara learns out in Bruch, in Gittin, on the Gemara of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and Daf Nun Vav, about the Churb and the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of the city in a coffin. They pretended he was being taken out to be buried. And he went, once he was out of the city, and he went to the Aspasianus, the Roman general, and he greeted him, Shalom Aloch Malka, peace to you, king. Peace to you, king. And Aspasianus, the general, said to him, first of all, if I'm the king, why didn't you come earlier? And second of all, I'm not the king. Why are you addressing me as the king? It's like you're mocking me, you're scorning me. I'm not the king, I'm only a general. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai quoted this pasuk. V'halavonon which in the simple meaning is taken to mean the forest of Sanherib's army. But the Gemara understands that the Levanon refers to the Beis HaMikdash, from the word Lavan, to make white. That the Beis HaMikdash cleans all the averus of Klal Yisrael. It whitens our sins. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Hohar HaTov HaZev HaLevanon. He wanted to see the Beis HaMikdash. In Parshas Vaaschanan, Levanon means the Beis HaMikdash. Va'alavanon, the Beis HaMikdash, be'adir, through a mighty one. In Adir, there is a pasuk that implies Adir is a king. The greatest will be used to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There won't be a no-name conquering the Beis HaMikdash. V'halavanon, the Beis HaMikdash will only fall through an Adir, a mighty person, a king. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I see that the Churban is here. So you, Aspasianus, must be a king. You're not just a general. And sure enough, the Gemara tells that messengers came and arrived and told him, indeed, he had been appointed king. He was the new Caesar. Perek Yud Aleph. Now the Navi begins with a chapter in Isaiah that's well known, a perek in Yeshaya. Just to touch on the general theme of this perek, and then we'll explain it gradually as we work through the psukim. There's going to be someone coming forth from Yishai, who is David HaMelech's father, and the Spirit of Hashem is going to rest upon him. He'll have Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, and he'll judge the poor with righteousness, and he'll strike the wicked. V'garza Avin Keves, there'll be an era that the wolf will lie with the sheep. V'nomirin Gedi Yirbath, the leopard will lie down with the Gedi, with the kid, with the young animal. Upara V'dov Tirena, the cow and the bear will graze together. Lo Yareiv Lo Yashchisu B'chol Arkadshi, there won't be anyone injuring or destroying. In Yerushalayim, the land will be full of the knowledge of Hashem. As with most things in Yeshaya, you look at the psukim and it doesn't say clearly who we're referring to. V'yotza choter migeza Yishai. There'll be a staff will emerge from the stump of Yishai. V'netzer misharosh of Yifreh, and a shoot will sprout from the roots. Who are we talking about? It's commonly understood to be referring to Mashiach, which we're going to discuss why it would seem to be Mashiach. Although the Abarbanel, and most of what I'm going to say now to the conclusion of the shiur, is based on what the Abarbanel discusses. As we know, he lived through the expulsion from Spain. He saw the suffering of the Inquisition, and he was in other countries, Portugal, Italy, and he suffered together with the Jewish people, even though the king had told him he has the right to stay. We'll make an exception for somebody like the Abarbanel. He was the finance minister of the king. But Abarbanel placed his lot with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish nation, and when we were driven out of Spain, he joined the exiles. But he had to deal with missionaries. And the same prukim, the same chapters that are discussed nowadays with missionaries, hundreds of years ago, it was the exact same chapters, and Abarbanel discusses it conclusively. And not that this is a course on disproving the missionaries, but it's here in the words of Abarbanel, and I think it's important for us to learn this, to learn the perek without missing these Abarbanels. Would be missing something that would be very enjoyable and very valuable. But the Yotzachot, the Abarbanel points out, assuming it would be Mashiach, there's two obvious questions. Well, firstly, it doesn't even mention, we talked about the 10 tribes who were exiled. That was much earlier. Not much earlier, but it wasn't the last perek. But it mentioned the 10 tribes were exiled, the end of Perek Ches. And then it discussed about Sancheiriv. at this point is still the first base Hamikdash standing. How are we jumping all of a sudden to Mashiach? We haven't even destroyed the first base Hamikdash, and certainly not the second, and you're already up to Mashiach. So we'll see how the Abarbanel is going to learn these psukim, how they could be talking about Mashiach if there hasn't been a Churban yet, they're not of a Bayis Rishon and not of a Bayis Sheni. The alternative would be the Otzachotim Igeza Yishoi, the staff that's going to emerge from the stump of Yishai, the Neitzim Yisharosh of Yifre, and the shoot that's going to come from the roots. Perhaps it's referring to Chizkiyo, who was alive at that time. It could be Chizkiyo in the sense that Veshofat B'tzedek Dalim, we know that Chizkiyo is going to judge the poor with righteousness. Perhaps Gor Ze'ev in Keves, the wolf dwelling with that sheep, could mean a mushel. It means figuratively. There'll be peace. Everyone will get along. And it'll seem as if there's peace in the land. The Shoresh Yishai, which is the Nes Amim, it says later on that root from Yishai in Pasuk Yud, that stands as a banner for the peoples. It could be Chizkiyo was a living example. People would think and would look toward Chizkiyo as a miracle of Hashem. How Chizkiyo was able to have the army of Sancheirav wiped out, and he recovered from a critical illness, and the earth and the sun turned back. There were miracles that happened for Chizkiyo. And that became a banner to the nation. V'oysim inu chaso kavod, and his resting place will be honorable. He won't have to go out and fight. Perhaps it's going on Chizkiyo. However, there's a lot of problems with that. First of all, it's not a rod or a shoot that will come out. Chizkiyo was already alive. Chizkiyo was alive at the time of this nevuah. The Abarbanel says he was already 10 years old. So he's already alive. Also, it seems that he's going to have a Ruach Eitzu Gevura, a spirit of counsel and strength. We don't find strength by Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo sat in Yerushalayim and he learned. And the Navi says, V'hika Eretz B'shevet Piv, he'll strike the land with the rod of his mouth. With his words, he'll be able to punish people. And even if it means somehow in his zechus Sancheirav was killed, but it wasn't that he destroyed Sancheirav with his words. He sat and he learned. It says in Yeshaya Perek Lamed Zayin, later on, Hashem told Yeshaya, V'ganosi l'hira zos l'oshia, I'm going to protect the city of Yerushalayim. L'mani for my sake, Uleman David Avdi, and because of my servant David. Yerushalayim is the city of David. And for my sake, for this Chil Hashem of Sancheiriv, don't worry, Yerushalayim will be safe. But it seems as if it's not even credited to Chizkiyo. So how could this pasuk that's saying he's going to strike the nations be referring to Chizkiyo? V'shiasha yonek al-chur pasen. We have the pasuk that says a suckling, a yonek, a young baby that nurses from its mother, will play by the viper's hole. He'll play and he'll stick his hand where we have the poisonous snakes. It certainly didn't happen in the literal sense. And to say it's a mushel that in his days everything was great and was peaceful, we'll learn later. We'll learn later that Yeshaya showed the treasures that he had to the messengers of the king of Bavel. And Hashem told him, because you showed off that wealth, all that wealth will be carried in exile to Bavel. Chizkiyo probably showed it off to show what Hashem had given him. But on his madrega, for him, that was considered a fault to show off his wealth. See, he was told that there's an exile coming. How can you tell me in his days it's like the child playing by the poisonous snake? Everything's peaceful and there's no concern or worries. He was told the Churban was coming. And it says later on, by Yomahu, on that day, the day that we're talking about, Hashem will again show his hand in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and he'll acquire the remnants of his nation from Ashur and Mitzrayim and Pasros and Cush, from all the different nations. V'osaf nidche Yisrael, all the outskirts, all of the outcasts of Klal Yisrael will be gathered in. Those that are scattered and dispersed will be brought back. That didn't happen in the days of Chizkiyo. It doesn't seem that it could be Chizkiyo. V'hechrim Hashem es l'shon yam mitzroyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dry up the gulf of the sea of Mitzrayim. The psukim don't seem to refer to what happened in the days of Chizkiyo. Other Mephorshim learned that this is referring to Zerubbabel, who was the leader who built the second Beis HaMikdash, and he brought back Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. But again, most of the same objections apply. He brought back a number of the Jews from Babel, but most of them didn't come back, and they weren't brought from all over the world. It doesn't seem to refer to him. There are those, the missionaries explain, and Abarbanel deals with this, it's so beautiful, and he deals with it at length. But he says there are those who say it could be referring to their founder, the leader of Christianity, that perhaps they believe that this was him. And they'll say, Ruach Eitzu Gevura, he had good counsel and strength. He himself had all the attributes and all the positive qualities you could hope for. And Gor Ze'ev in Keves, when it says the wolf will lay with the sheep, it means there'll be peace in the world, and the whole world will get together and will accept his religion. And Kimala Haaretz Deos Hashem, they'll all be full of the knowledge of Hashem, and they feel that this deals with him, Oso Ha'ish, their leader. Now, Barbanel points out many objections to that. First of all, the obvious objection is V'yotza Choter Migeza Yishai. A staff will emerge from the stump of Yishai. They believe that he had a mother, Miriam, Mary, but he didn't have a human father. If he didn't have a human father, the Yichus goes with the father. How does he come out from Yishai? Now, obviously, he must have mentioned that. This was discussed hundreds of years ago, and the missionaries explained that they believed that there's a law in the Torah. We read about, from the tribe of Menasheh, there was a man, Slofchad, and he had only girls. He had five daughters. And the people in his Shevet, in that tribe, were concerned that they would get a Yerusha, they would inherit their father's land in Eretz Yisrael, and then they would marry men from other tribes, from another Shevet, and all that land that they got from their tribe would end up being transferred to their husband's tribe. And therefore they were told to marry within their Shevet. V'chol bas yoreshes nachla, any daughter who's going to receive an inheritance has to marry within her Shevet, within that tribe. That was what it says in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, in the end of Bamidbar. And therefore they wanted to say that his mother was from Yishai, and therefore you can assume it's credit. If his father came from Yishai, his mother must have come from Yishai, because the mothers, everyone married within their Shevet, and if all he had was a human mother, it goes with the mother, and we know where the mother was from, because the father was from Yishai, so it must have been the mother also. First of all, Abarbanel says, it doesn't say, it says they come from Yishai. Yishai was one individual. He had one family within the tribe of Yehuda. There's nowhere where it says that if a man came from Yishai, he had to marry his first cousin. He had to marry within the tribe. It doesn't mean that his mother would have come from the tribe, from the family of Yishai. And it doesn't say that his mother had any land. The whole din is, if she has land, she has to marry within the Shevet. It doesn't say that his mother had land. According to Chazal, that law, by the way, only applied before they came to Eretz Yisrael. It was only in that generation. Before they entered Eretz Yisrael, the women had to marry within their shevet. It did not apply once they came to Eretz Yisrael, and there's many, many proofs that it has no relevance later in history. There's the incident of Pilegesh Begiva, where the whole tribe of Binyamin was just about wiped out, and there were just some men left, and the other tribes gave their daughters to marry into Binyamin. And we know David himself married Shaul's daughter. Shaul came from the tribe of Binyamin. David was from Yehuda. You see that they married each other. There was a king Yehoshaphat, who was a big tzaddik from Shevet Yehuda, and he married the daughter of Achav, who came from Ephraim, was from the 10 tribes. And certainly this was all in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the second Beis HaMikdash, there was assimilation, and they married the Goyim, and certainly they weren't makbid to marry within their tribe, besides the fact that most Jews didn't come up to the second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the land was not divided by the Shevatim. In the second Beis HaMikdash, everybody lived wherever they settled. I would assume like nowadays, you move to Eretz Yisrael, you have a piece of land. But it did not go based on the Shevatim. And that's his main objection in terms of the Yichus. Besides the fact that Yeshu, their leader, wasn't a judge. And there was not this fulfillment of Vagar Ze'ev in Keves. There was no wolf dwelling with the sheep. Not in the literal sense, and not even figuratively. Because historically, he lived in those decades, the last century, he was preceding the Churban, right before the destruction. There was a lot of strife, and there were wars, and it culminated very shortly after he died, it culminated with the Churban. There certainly was not an era of peace, not in the literal, miraculous sense of the wolf and the sheep lying together, and not in the figurative sense. Yehuda and the Geula of all the tribes, they weren't gathered in from all over the world. And as the Abarbanel ends off, he says, Divrayem uperushayhem hevel varik. Their words and their explanations lack any substance. It's nonsense and it's empty words. Alkeno marti, therefore I said, lo ezkor v'lo adaber od bishmam. I'm not going to mention, I'm not going to talk anymore in their name. I've discussed the subject enough. But there's nothing to it. So it's obvious that this can't be going on Chizkio, it can't be going on a leader of the second Beis HaMikdash, it can't be going Lahavdil on the leader of Christianity, it must be going on Mashiach. Now in the Navi, there are certain, what's called a Parsha. There's a space in the Navi, and it's printed as a new paragraph, a new section. There is a space before the pasuk, Hine ha'odon Hashem Tzavakos. Behold, the master, Hashem Tzavakos, is going to chop down Mesoif Pura, those big branches of Sancheriv, which we were interpreting to mean Sancheriv. Hashem's going to chop down that tree. The Abarbanel says it's not talking about Sancheriv. We've talked about Sancheriv at length. In fact, it was discussed earlier exactly how Sancheriv's army is going to be wiped out. It said in Pasuk Tezayin, in the previous, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tezayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send B'mishmanov and the fattened ones of Sancheriv, Hashem will send out Rozon Olinis, and there'll be a burning, Tachas Kvodom, place of their honor, there'll be like a burning of fire. So it discussed the destruction of Sancheriv's army. And the last psukim discussed how Sancheriv came to Yerushalayim and he waved his hands with scorn. And we know what happened afterwards. We know what happens, it was mentioned earlier. These psukim are either referring to what's going to happen at the times of Mashiach, that just like there was a miracle of Sancheriv, in fact, Rashi mentions the first Rashi in Perek Yud Aleph. Rashi says, what does Mashiach have to do over here? Who's talking about Mashiach? We're talking about Sancheriv. V'yotza chotem migeza yishoy. Rashi asks, V'im tomru, if you'll say, Hare tanchumim l'chizkiyo v'amo. You've comforted Chizkiyo and his people, shlo yiplu b'yodo, that they're not going to fall in the hands of Sancheiriv. But amatei al agol asher hegla bachlach v'chavor. What about all those Jews, the 10 tribes, who were exiled by Ashur to a foreign land? Shema ovad sivram. Is all hope lost? Are those 10 tribes gone forever? The Novi says, lo ovad, don't worry. Sancheiriv will not be a threat. Chizkiyo is safe. And you know what? Let's talk about Mashiach. The 10 tribes will also come back. Sov sheyovo melech ha-Mashiach v'yigalim. The Melech HaMashiach will come and he will redeem those 10 tribes also. Rashi says, the first Rashi in Perek Yud Aleph. The Abar Ben El says these 2 psukim before are referring to the other nations that threaten Klal Yisrael. Hinei ha'adun Hashem Tzavakos, behold, the Lord Hashem Tzavakos, Misoif Pura is going to chop off the branches of other nations that threaten us. He's going to chop their branches b'marotza with the axe. V'romei hakoma geduim, those of lofty stature will be severed. But it's going on the nations that have threatened us before Mashiach comes. They'll all be destroyed. And then Mashiach will come. Or an alternative shot, Abar Ben El says, is could be these 2 psukim, are the reference to Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. That Hashem will come and there's going to be a Churban. Hashem's going to chop down the branches, the Sivchei Hayar, the thicket of the forest, is referring to the first Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Yar, a forest. It's referring to Yerushalayim. And they'll be chopped down with iron, meaning through Nebuchadnezzar there'll be a destruction. The Halavonon Ba'adir Yipol, like we learned that Gemara in Gittin, and the second Beis HaMikdash, the Levonon, the second Beis HaMikdash, will fall through the mighty Roman Empire. And now, the Yotzah Chotem Igeza Yishoi, there'll be that staff that will emerge from the stump of Yishai, and Mashiach will come. There's a medrash that Abar Ben El brings down, and it says as follows. At the time of the final Geula, before Mashiach comes, Yirbu Milchamos Ba'olam, there'll be many wars in the world, Bein Umos Ha'olam, between the nations, Al Odos Al Admas HaKodesh, and it'll be, I don't know if the battle will be on the Holy Land or concerning the Holy Land, there'll be Yirbu melchomos al admas hakodesh, v'halavonon, levonon meaning the Beis Hamikdash, be'adir yipol. And here the Medrash translates adir as different. Adir means either Mashiach, or adir means the mighty one, meaning Hashem. That the world will be fighting about the Holy Land. I would assume that would mean who gets it and who's entitled to it and what should happen to it. V'halavonon be'adir yipol. But the Beis HaMikdash will end up in the hands of Hashem, Kaviyachol, or in the hands of Mashiach. It'll end up by the Mighty One. The Malbim says that the truth is, we know Mashiach can come in 2 ways. Mashiach can come early, if we deserve it. Zachu, if they merit, Achishena, Mashiach will come early. And if they don't merit, it'll come whenever it comes. V'yotza choter mi geza yishoy. Geza is the stump. You can see the stump of a tree above the ground. And from that stump, there'll be a choter, a staff, a stick, which is wide and thick. And that will grow from the stump. If Klal Yisrael would have deserved it, Chizkiyo would have become Mashiach. As we've mentioned from the Gemara, if he would have sang a Shira, if he would have praised Hashem when Sancheiriv was wiped out, Sancheiriv would have been the place of the battle of Gog and Magog. Chizkiyo would have become Mashiach, but he didn't say the Shira, and he didn't become Mashiach. But he could have been. That would have been the Geza Yishoy. from the stump of Yishai that's visible that we can see. Malchus Beis Dovid never disappeared in his days. He was the son after the son after the son, straight back to David HaMelech. And that stump would have just grown further up. It would have again regenerated and it would have produced Mashiach. He didn't become Mashiach. And now Malchus Beis Dovid is underground. It's like they're in hiding. Somewhere there's that descendant from David HaMelech, who is fit to be Mashiach, and we don't see him. He's like the root under the ground. And if we don't merit to have the Choter Migeza Yishoi, that staff coming from the stump of Yishai, then Mashiach will end up coming not in the days of Chizkio. It can be centuries later. It'll be V'netzer Misharosh of Yifra. From the roots, a shoot will sprout forth, and Mashiach will come from those roots. The Nocha Olav Ruach Hashem. And the Spirit of Hashem will rest on him. The Abarbanel lists 10 qualities. 10 qualities that are necessary for Mashiach. Mashiach will have these 10. The first one is, what we've mentioned before, he has to come from Yishai. He can be the greatest person, but if he's not from Malchus Beis David, he won't be Mashiach. Hashem promised, Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda. The staff of rulership won't be removed from Yehuda. It's going to come from Shevet Yehuda. And when David reached the perfection that he did, Hashem promised him that from his descendants would always be the Malchus, the kingship, in Klal Yisrael. So he has to be somebody coming from Yishai. And it doesn't mention David, because the truth is David himself is sometimes referred to as Mashiach. Mashiach is a reincarnation, or Mashiach is David. David will come back as Mashiach, whatever the meaning of that is. But there's a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Zayin. It says, "V'David avdi nasi lahem la'olam." David, my servant, will be their leader forever. Mashiach is referred to as David. So it doesn't say that a shoot will come forth from David, because David himself, it'll be him. Mashiach will be, again, a representation. Mashiach will be David. And this choter is coming forth, Migeza Yishoi, meaning David will come back as Mashiach. But it'll be from that family. And it's also reminiscent that Mashiach is not necessarily going to be the mighty physical warrior. He'll win wars and but he will not be the mighty physical warrior. He'll be more like the Yishai. Not as we think of David as the man of war, but the Yishai who the Gemara says had no Averis. He died simply because the Nachash persuaded Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And when Adam HaRishon made that mistake, and he ate from that fruit, it was decreed that nobody lives forever. So Yishai also died. But from a perfection, from the Geza Yishai, from that stump of Yishai, will come Mashiach. That's qualification number one. He has to come from that family. Number two, V'nocha Olav Ruach Hashem. The Spirit of Hashem has to rest on him. Not even that he'll have his moments of inspiration, but the Ruach Hashem will rest on him on a constant, ongoing manner. It'll be evident that Ruach HaKodesh is his. And he's going to have a level of Nevuah that's discussed elsewhere, that'll be evident that Hashem's presence is resting on him. It says later in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Beis, it says, Hine yastil avdi, that my servant will succeed. Yarum, he'll be exalted. V'nisan, he'll become high. V'gava me'od, and he'll be exceedingly lofty. He'll be raised to tremendous heights. And Chazal say, Hine yarum, hine yastil avdi, my servant will be successful. Yarum, he'll be exalted, meaning he'll be higher, he'll be greater than Avraham Avinu. V'nisa, and he'll become high, greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. V'gova, and he'll be lofty, he'll be very high up, whatever that means, he'll be greater than the Malachi Ashores. That Mashiach will have a greatness of Nevuah that we, obviously we have no conception. We don't have a conception of a Navi on the lowest Madrega. Nowadays there are, anybody who knows someone with Ruach HaKadosh, of course, is overawed with Ruach HaKadosh, but Nevuah is a much greater level, and here we're talking about the greatest of the Nevi'im. That the Nochol of Ruach Hashem, the Ruach Hashem will rest on him. That's quality number two. He'll have a Ruach Chochmah Uvina, a spirit of Chochmah, of wisdom, Ubina, an understanding. Ruach Eitzah, a spirit of counsel, Ugevura, and strength. Ruach Das, a spirit of knowledge, V'yiras Hashem, in the fear of Hashem. That's the third quality that he needs. He needs to have a level of Chochmah. It's not just that he's a mouthpiece and he says over the words of Hashem, but he'll be noticeable that he's a chacham. He has this greatness of wisdom. And very often these are three different, there are three groups. There's the Ruach Hashem will rest on him. And in terms of his wisdom, there's Ruach Chochmah Uvina. There's Ruach Eitzah Gevura. There's Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. It's like three separate categories, three groups. Sometimes there's a man who's a chacham. He's a wise man. Chacham means he gained wisdom. He heard from his rabbeim. He learned a lot. But it doesn't mean he himself has the mind to do something with that knowledge. Bina is the person who knows how to build on that chachmah and do something with it. Mashiach will have not just the Ruach Chochmah, but it'll go together the Ruach Chochmah Ubina. He'll know how to translate that in Lamaisa, how to act on it, what to do with that tivuna, what to do with that understanding. And sometimes a person who is a very intellectual, and even if he does know how to translate it into this world, but he's certainly not a person who is physically powerful or courageous. He's a thinker. He has a great mind, but it doesn't mean he has the physical ability of Eitzu, Gevura, having a counsel and having the strength to have the power of a Gibor. Mashiach will have that. And very often the person who's a thinker and he's intellectual somehow doesn't have that simplicity of the Emunah and the Bitachon. Some people are more emotional and they feel a closeness to Hashem and they're very spiritually in attuned. And others are consider themselves more intellectual, and they don't follow superstitious things, and it's only what they can understand, and they don't feel that connection to Hashem. While Mashiach will excel, that he'll have Ruach Das v'Yiras Hashem. He'll have the Das, the knowledge, with the Yiras Hashem. Not like those that, it says in Kohelet, some Al Tischakam Yoiser. Certain people have to be wary not to know too much, not to become too wise, to think that they know it all. There has to be this Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. Vaharicho, the fourth quality, Vaharicho B'Yiras Hashem. He'll be imbued with the spirit of Yiras Hashem. This is a very interesting thing. It's something that I learned years ago what Rav Volba writes about the neshama, and I didn't really understand it. And I saw again that our Barbanel explains this in this perek. It's something to think about. But as our Barbanel describes it, there are different senses of a person. There's the sense of feel, of touch. You feel it with your hands, with your body. You can touch it, you feel it. Then there's the sense of tasting. Those senses are described as being gassim, as being a crass, mundane, very physical. You know, something like the guy will say he doesn't believe unless he can touch it. He feels it. It's not befitting for a person of a higher stature to be involved with those chushim. And the Abravano uses the words Ushnei Achushim Ho'ele Ein Sofek. There's no doubt. This is a quote of his words. Shahayu Klal Hanaviim VeGam HaChachomim HaShleimim. The Neviim, the prophets, and those Chachomim of perfection were Miruchokim Mehem. They kept away from the experiences of taste and of feel. Legasosam, because it's so crass and so thick and worldly, earthly. Ulecherposam, and it's a disgrace to be involved in that type of sensation. Kirabahi, it's just a great cherpa, a big disgrace. The sense of smell is a lot more delicate. It's not physical. You don't see what you're smelling. It's a fragrance in the air. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes you'll even find there's a pasuk that will describe like Vayorach Hashem es Reach HaNichoach. That sense already is a greater, a more spiritual sense, and you'll find that the pasuk will describe Hashem as if Taviyochel Hashem smelled the Reach HaNichoach. And of course, the two senses that a Chochem really emphasizes are his eyes and his ears. Those are the conduits. It's totally spiritual. What a person is able to see in his ear, the sense of sight and hearing, is the most spiritual. And he brings down the psukim, always strengthened, stress, like Ozen Mishle, Parakhov. Ozen Shomas, Va'ayin Roa, the hearing ear, and the seeing eye, Hashem Osagam Shneim. Hashem did both of them. Hashem created them. Those are considered to be the most godly of the senses. Harinius Marayich, Hashminius Kolech, it says in Shir Hashirim. Let me see how the perfection of Klal Yisrael, let me hear your voice. Vaharicho, Mashiach will be imbued, that he'll smell. Not only is the crass senses avoided, but even the scent, he'll smell with Yiras Hashem. There's a Gemara in Brachos. I don't really have time to go into it now, but I just want to mention it. Rav Volva discusses it in his introduction to the first volume of Ali Shur. Brachos and Daf Yud. The Gemara says five times it says Borchi Nafshi. It says Borchi Nafshi es Hashem. My soul should bless Hashem. And the Gemara says on Daf Yud and Brachos, what hani chamisha borchi nafshi? The five times it says in Tillim, five times it says borchi nafshi. Kenegin mi omran David. Why did David say these five borchi nafshis? He said it as the soul has something in common, whatever that means, kaviyochol. He said it kenegin the neshama and kenegin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the whole world, and the neshama fills the whole body. That's like one borchi nafshi. David again said Borchi Nafshi, because the Hashem sustains and feeds and supports the whole world, and the Neshama is what keeps our whole body going. That's the second thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tehoira is pure, and the Neshama is pure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bechadri Chador, and we can't see Him. He's in the innermost place, whatever that means, where the Shechina resides. It's hidden, so too you can't see the Neshama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Roa Vein and Nira, Hashem sees. And actually the other one was HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides in the inner chambers. The Neshama resides inside a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and he's not seen. The Neshama sees and doesn't see. And basically, Rav Volva says to really serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to get in attuned to his Neshama. But you should know the Neshama is something that cannot be seen. It's and he discusses exactly how a person is supposed to try to get some connection. And he says it's not philosophical. It's a reality. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and is not seen, the Neshama is a reality. And Baruch Hi Nafshi Es Hashem, we should use that Nefesh in order to serve Hashem. Next week, Emir Tashem, we will not have the Shir, and we'll resume after Purim. In 2 weeks from now.